screen came down because we're going to show a few slides tonight in the course of our message. But they'll just be for illustrative purposes. We'll not have the Bible on the screen or anything like that. You have to use your Bible. A pretty important subject. This is not really a message that is, limited to our church family. This is a message that, because of what I see in Christianity taking place today, I'll be able to explain it a little bit more as we go along. I guess we're going to give this message a lot of different titles. It's a little bit about entertainment. It's a little bit about raising your family. Maybe we could call the message tonight, is Disney Christian family friendly? Is Disney Christian family friendly? You know, I asked around a little bit about entertainment and Disney. And as I asked around, I tried to get the idea of what's happening out there in Christendom. And I get the idea that in a typical fundamental Baptist home, certainly as I would gauge it by young people at fundamental Baptist colleges, but I was thinking of a particular university at this time, and the consensus was that probably most everybody there watches Disney. And it's really not a really big deal. certainly, as you think of the evangelical world, most of the evangelical world thinks that Disney is family friendly. And if you want to watch a movie, watch a Disney movie, because they're family friendly. There is a, did you know that James Dobson, the Southern Baptist Convention, and the American Family Association called for a ban on Disney? They had a ban on Disney. And I think it was in 1996, they called a ban on Disney. Can you believe the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, voting to put a ban at their convention on Disney? I mean, I'd say the Southern Baptist Convention is pretty weak. they did lift the ban because what are they going to say? They didn't really affect Disney. Disney kept doing whatever it was doing, and their ban didn't really have really much of an effect. But as I read about that, I thought, wow, I didn't even know that. And yet the consensus is out there that Disney is okay, family friendly. You want to have a movie for your family to watch, watch Disney. Now, we're going to preface this message by some Bible principles, okay? So let's look at some Bible verses tonight. And let's look at this subject from a biblical standpoint, okay? That's what we need to do. Look at this subject from a biblical standpoint, okay? So first of all, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What about the Christian family? What about the duty of parents, and especially fathers, in a Christian family? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And ye shall talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, as you think of this instruction that in the Christian home, the Bible is to be taught. The Bible is to be taught in everything that we do. The Bible truths, the Bible principles are to be taught throughout the day. Now, I realize that, you know, a lot of people get saved, and they're glad that they get saved, but they don't bring the Bible into their life. They don't bring their Bible into their thinking. They don't bring the Bible into their home. They just kind of, put some Christian frosting on their life with some, you know, Bible plaques on their walls, maybe some Bible verses around. But their lifestyle, you know, the way they really think is still heathen. Now, the Bible says that's the opposite. The Bible says everything we do in our home, in our lives, ought to be based on biblical thinking, biblical principles. Now, certainly, so let's think about, so it's saying we're supposed to teach Bible principles all the time. Now, there's an opposite of that. Did you know you can unteach the Bible? You can unteach the Bible. You can unteach the Bible in a lot of different ways. But you know, you can unteach the Bible by entertainment. And I think we're going to see that you're going to unteach the Bible if you watch Disney. You're going to unteach the Bible. So let's look at, we want to look at some verses that are kind of preliminary. And we'll go on from there. Let's go to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18 is a really, really, really important passage of Scripture. 17, 18, but 18, it says in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances, you shall do my judgments. And keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. All right. Well, that makes it pretty simple. Now, it says, when, as my people of God, don't do what you did in Egypt, and don't do what the heathen do around you in Canaan. Follow the word of God. Okay, so let's find some of these issues that he says you better be very careful about. Let's go chapter 18, verse 22. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Abomination. Detestable in the sight of God. I mean, it is so terrible, so rotten, so vile, so wicked. It says, it's abomination. Then it says, verse 23, thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast, etc. It is confusion. Bestiality. Oh, he says, man, these nations practiced it. And they defiled the land, and the land had to spew them out. Don't be like the land. Obey the Bible. Notice principles. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Same subject. There shall not be found any among you any that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. Abomination? Detestable? I mean, it's the worst. It's the bottom of the barrel. Abomination. That's what it's saying. Witchcraft. The occult. Okay? Notice what it says in chapter 20 and verse 18. Verse 17 it says, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after their abominations. You know what it's saying? It's saying complete separation. That's what it's saying. Complete separation. Didn't say toleration. Certainly didn't say learn from them. Didn't say let them teach you how to do it. It says utterly destroy them so there is no chance they could ever teach you of their abominations. That they teach you not to do after their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. Wow. Complete separation. Now, let's think about the downfall of Israel. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel is in Babylon. And God's telling him, Ezekiel's been taken captive before the destruction of the temple. And God's telling Ezekiel, and of course there's a picture of the Shekinah glory leaving the temple. And it gives the prophets that it comes up out of the holy place, and then it goes to the door of the temple, and then it goes to the gate of the city, and then it's completely gone. And now in chapter 8, he's giving him, he said, I'm going to show you why the Shekinah glory is going to leave. And so he takes them to Jerusalem, to the temple, the place where the people of God are supposed to worship God. And it says in verse 7, he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, and behold, a hole in the wall. And he said to me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said to me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts and idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about it. You know, the deification of animals, creatures. It says, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan, and with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up there worshiping nature. Worshiping nature. And he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? I mean, this wasn't the kids. This was the adults. These were the gray hairs. They're the grandmas and grandpas. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And he said to me, turn ye, thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And there stood a woman weeping for Tammuz, one of the false gods of the nations. Weeping for Tammuz. Weeping for this false god. And he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, there was 25 men with their backs toward the temple and their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun, the worship of nature. You know, the worship of nature, worshiping the sun. You know, worshiping the woods, whatever, abominations. You know, did you ever think of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ever think about that? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, so we think of that introduction. How did Israel get there? You know, they had to get there by learning the way of the heathen. They had to get there by letting down their guard. They had to get there by innocently inquiring after these things. These things had to work on them to bring them to a place that they would worship them. Now, kind of getting straight to the point here. We're going to talk about the subject at hand of Disney movies, because, you know, I mean, that's good family entertainment. And, you know, if you want to watch a movie, you need to watch a good Disney movie. That will do you a lot of good. Well, no. Let's talk about if Disney is family friendly, if Disney is Christian family friendly. Let's look at the dangers of Disney. Well, we'll talk about a number of things. We have at least 10 points. Number one, the danger of animation. The danger of animation. You know, many of the Disney films are animation. Bambi, Snow White, Seven Dwarfs, Mickey Mouse, Peter Pan, Pocahontas, Mermaid, The Little Mermaid, a lot of them, Frozen, animation. Now let's think about animation a minute. Animation, of course, is the humanizing of animals. If you think about that long enough, you can see that has some real problems with it. But, you know, animation is a very subtle way of teaching. I call it a teaching method that takes away the offense. You know, if you had a film in which this kid, takes a frying pan, knocks the guy over the head, and when he comes around the corner, he shoots him with a sawed-off shotgun. You'd say, that's violent. That's terrible! But you know, Bugs Bunny does it. It's fun. Really? Violence is fun? You know, you have... Peter Pan. And cute little guy. We'll learn about Peter Pan. You have people in there too, but it's kind of the animation. And so you have little mermaids, plunging necklines, tight bodily features. But you know what? It's just animation. It's not immodesty. You know, World War II, they hired Walt Disney to produce propaganda films. And they knew that through animation, a very controversial subject would be accepted, and the people would get the message that they wanted them to get, because the barriers are down. Animation, in fact, Walt Disney said, my goal in life is to educate children. He wanted to educate children. And he recognized that one of the best ways to get his message across to children was through animation. Because animation is kid-friendly, isn't it? There can't be anything wrong with animation. I mean, that's for kids, right? Nothing wrong with animation. It's kid-friendly. Oh, very, very pointed, very much a very deceptive means of getting the message across. Well, as we think about it, let's think about the message. Let's think about... the magic kingdom. Slide number one. Let's think about the magic kingdom. We got it. Oh, there it is. There's the magic kingdom. Okay. And there's Mickey. And what does Mickey have on? The sorcerer's hat. The magic kingdom. What did the Bible say about sorcery? It's kid friendly, right? It's something to be entertained with, right? It's something to, it's something that's nice for kids. Oh, really? I thought the Bible said it was abomination. Here's Mickey Mouse. You know, the Magic Kingdom. I think we have another. We have another one. There we go. There's the Magic Kingdom. Wow, there's Mickey. He's got a sorcerer's hat. And there we got, I don't know, maybe that's Peter Pan up there. And there's, some other princesses, and they got the magic wand. And it's the magic kingdom. Wow, magic kingdom. Really, magic kingdom. You know, magic, really? What about magic? You know, in junior church last week or the other week, they were teaching the bus kids about the miracle of the resurrection. And one of the kids said, oh, you mean magic? You mean magic? Magic? the same as supernatural miracle? You think there's any confusion of God and religion here and truth? I think so. You know, look, think about the magic kingdom. No churches. No churches in the magic kingdom. No mention of God. Magic has replaced any mention of God. You know, Billy Graham was at the opening of the Magic Kingdom, I guess, out there in whatever it is, Pasadena or whatever. And he said to Walt Disney, he said, "Wow, you've done a great world job producing a fantasy world." And Walt Disney said to him, "No, this is the real world. Out there is the fantasy world." What did he mean by that? The world where there was God and worship of God, is that the fantasy world? And the world where there is no God and you have magic, and you have animal creatures are real living human deified or humanized. That's the real world. What do you think he meant by that? Was he saying that Christianity was a lie? Was he saying that pantheism was real? Was he saying that the magic of the occult is the real world? And God and his world, the Bible, are false? I mean, who knows what he meant, but that's what he said. The magic kingdom. Walt Disney, Christian? Disney movies, Christian? You know that something has a hidden purpose when once in a while it comes out. You know, subliminal messages are messages meant to get the message across without people recognizing that a message is being given. Let's look at the next slide. Here is Aladdin. And here's a picture from Aladdin. And I don't know the characters here, but there it is. S-E-X. Right there. Let's go to the next one. Here is a scene in The Lion King. Okay? I should have a pointer here. But in the dust out there, S-E-X. They went to someone at Disney and says, "What is that?" And, of course, they tried to deny it, and so they said, "Well, it's S-F-X. Oh, he gave himself away. He's saying there were, even though he's denying it, what is he saying? He says there was a message there. There's a message in the stars. He's trying to deny how wicked it was, but he gave out, the cat came out of the bag. Yeah, there was a message there in the stars." And you know, if you, and I don't recommend to do this, I've defiled my mind enough doing this research. But this is, you know, you say, "Oh, you're stretching it." Well, you don't have to stretch those two. But it's It's woven into many parts of Disney. There's a thing called Tangled, and the girl has long hair, and it's wrapped around this guy, and we have the same message spelled out. And yes, publicly wouldn't be right to talk about all the other little shots. You know, there's 24 frames per second. 24 frames per second. And so, you know, you don't have to have, you know, you could have one frame and you could have a naked woman in there and the average eye wouldn't see it. But they have it. They have it. It didn't get in there by accident, folks. You don't put that in there by accident. It didn't just show up, you know. There is a message. There's a purpose. This is not some innocent company. This is an evil company.
Where are we? Oh, we're going to have two threes, okay? This is number three, the second one. False gods. False gods. Let's have the next slide. False gods. Here is, I guess it's called the Lion King. I don't know, I didn't see it, but that's what I'm told. And in the Lion King, here's called the Circle of Life. And in this thing, whoever is teaching, the father is teaching the son, the false religion, monism. Or maybe you would say it's pantheism, but monism. And he says something like, you know, we're all one. Well, okay, Heath can correct me, okay? But he says, you know what? We eat the antelope. And then we die, and the grass grows out of the grave, and the antelope eats the grass. You see? I mean, it's a circle of life. You know? Go from this to this to this. Now, I guess it's called monism, but, you know, you can see, well, circle of life, really? What about creation? What about a soul? What about a spirit? No, false religion, heathenism, false gods. Okay, let's go to number four in my notes, immorality. It's very interesting. The little bit I saw, a little bit I remember. Because I really haven't seen a Disney film for a long, 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 long time. But I was told that this was true. That, you know, the bad queen. The bad queen is going to be fully dressed. From the neck all the way down to the ankle. The bad queen. Fully dressed. The good princesses, long scooping necklines, you know, A-frame bodies, you know, swaying hips, you know, whatever you want to call a provocative look. Isn't that amazing? The bad old queen. Fully dressed. But the good princesses, the heroines, immodest dress. Huh. What does that teach kids? Mom and dad? They're the bad guys. You know, in Frozen, I think this is true there, that the parents are, you know, fully dressed. And they're called abusive parents. They get the picture of abusive parents because they are against homosexuality. And they don't want Elsa to come out of the closet because they're against homosexuality. And Elsa, when she comes out, she does her dance she's got her low scooping neckline and her tight dress and she's whirling her body around. Immodesty. Immorality. You wouldn't want to buy Disney toys. Please, just take my word for it, kids. Don't go there. It's gross. It's just wickedly gross. I mean, it's worse than gross. It's perverted. You don't make toys and sell them to kids that have these perverted messages by the way the toys are made. We saw the message in the stars or the dust. We saw the message. S-E-X. They're not teaching morality. They're teaching immorality in a very subtle way. But they're teaching it. How about homosexuality? Let's go to the next slide. There he is. Nice little Peter Pan. I think I might have seen that one when I was a kid. Peter Pan. Peter Pan. Really? Did you know that Pan, let's see that one, yeah. There he is. Pan is the heathen god of male fertility. Peter Pan. Yeah, nice kids movie, right? Animated film. Peter Pan. All the little princesses, all the beautiful little girls are trying to get Peter Pan, they want him to be interested in them. But you know what? Peter Pan isn't interested in any girls. He's interested in his lost boys. Innocent? Christian? Or vulgar? I guess I can't, they have a newer whatever film that they have a Pan or Peter, is that right? Peter Pan? I'm talking to Heath. Right? A new Peter Pan, not characterized with like this, but, you know, kind of looking like a real man. And he's a pedophile. Peter Pan. It's a Disney film. Do you know that Eisner, who was the president of Walt Disney in the 90s? Now, this is the 90s. Get your 90s. He said in the 90s that at least 40% of their staff were homosexuals. Did you know that Disney gives insurance to gay couples, but they will not give insurance to unmarried heterosexual couples? Peter Pan, Walt Disney also, of course, owns ABC. And ABC was the first network to star an openly gay woman, lesbian, Ellen DeGenerate. Ellen the Degenerate. And it was ABC. Disney owns it. They also have a series called Good Luck Charlie. I think that's, let's see. Yeah, Good Luck Charlie. Here's the 2014 Good Luck Charlie. And whatever. No, here's the family. And now they got, they're inviting another family over. And they had a discussion, you know. The man said, well, I thought her name was Charlene. And the wife said, no, the name is Kate. You know, I don't know. And, you know, they were confused, you know. And so they come to the house, and here's the family. And two mamas. Good luck, Charlie. Now, let's go to the next slide. Here's Frozen. And in Frozen, they have a slide of that follows a sequence, and then they show this hot tub, I guess it is, and everybody's in the hot tub, and it looks like another man in there, and they says, like, we're a family, two men and all these boys, we're a family. Now let's go to the next one. Here is a key character. There's the reindeer. And whatever his name is, I don't know. But that's kind of the key characters. And let's read about the reindeer and this man and their relationship. It says, sensitive and sweet, so he's a bit of a fixer-upper. So he's got a few flaws. Like his peculiar brain deer. His thing with the reindeer. His thing with the reindeer. Oh, that's a little outside of nature's laws. Outside of nature's laws. He's got a few flaws. Bestiology? No one wants to really even talk about such wickedness. But kids are singing these songs. Okay, let's go to the next one. Here's the Let It Go song from Frozen. And, you know, I don't know the story plot, but the whole scene, the whole picture is that Elsa has been in the closet. She's had been pretending to be the perfect girl. She had abusive parents, you see. They didn't like who she was, and so they kept her in, you know, pretending like she's the perfect girl. And so she's going to come out of the closet, if you know what that means. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. I'm free. I let it go. Let it go. I'm one with the wind and sky. I'm one with the wind and the sky. Does that sound like, I don't know, pantheism or whatever? What's the right word for that, Heath? Pantheism. I'm one with the wind and the sky. Really? Is there any more to that one? Or is that it? Okay. No. And if you read the lyrics, it says, no more pretending to be the perfect girl. And you know what? Kids all over America are singing this song. It's Christian entertainment, family entertainment. Do they have a hidden agenda? I wonder. No, I don't wonder. I know so. And it's been for a long, long time, all the way back to Peter Pan. You know, it's interesting that Magic Kingdom, they have a special day for Christians. Christians are invited, special day they have. Christian songs, I suppose they're, you know, Christian rock. I don't know if you can have Christian rock. Can you have Christian rock? No, there's no such thing. There's no more Christian rock than Christian murder. But anyway, they have Christian rock and they invite all the Christian families to come because this is a family-friendly place. And, you know, we can learn about Peter Pan and we can learn about, Magic Mickey and the Magic Kingdom and all of this. And then every year they have the gay day. And they invite all the gays to come. In fact, they have one great big gay day swimming pool party. Christian? You know, it's an attack upon the family. Disney is an attack upon the family. In Frozen, we have the parents who are against Elsa's gay lifestyle. They're called abusive parents. They have a new, another, let's go to the next one. They have another little, whatever you call it. I think, go to the next one. This is called South Park. And there's Mickey. Man, Mickey, isn't he great? I mean, he's such a sweet little guy. And in South Park, I didn't listen to it, but, in South Park, Mickey has a very limited vocabulary. Most of it's cursing, in other words. And they're making fun of everything. And they're mocking everything. Cursing. But you know, it's not so bad. It's just an animated figure. You know what I mean? It's okay. Now let's go back. Let's think of what Disney says about Christians. It says, reviewers and commentators have described The Ring. We talked about that. Is that the lion one? Yeah, the lion one. As not just a parody of the Walt Disney Company, the episode portrays Disney as a corporation using the ruse of family-friendly morals to disguise their primary motive, which is profit. Reviewers and articles said this point is further illustrated by the use of Mickey Mouse, a cartoon symbol, for the wholesome Disney's image as a foul-mouthed, contemptuous, greedy, all-powerful, and violent character. The episode further illustrates the greed of corporate culture by portraying Mickey as capitalizing on religion for profit, while secretly mocking it in a particular cruel tone. And he says, I've made billions off of Christian ignorance for decades now. And do you know why? Because Christians are retarded. They believe in a talking dead guy. Jesus Christ. This is what Disney says about Christians and Christianity. And what is he saying? He's saying Christians are retarded because they think that we are a family-friendly corporation and we are making billions off of them. In other words, they don't think. So Just so you know, that's what Disney thinks about you if you watch their movies. That's quite a compliment. Now, there's a lot of other dark parts of Disney. Next slide. Go past South Park. That is dark. Here is whatever duck that one is. I don't know. But notice the sign in there. Illuminati. Illuminati. Oh, okay, let's go to the next one. And there is the Masonic symbol there. Right, Mr. Griffin? See it above the door? There's the Masonic symbol. Okay, let's go to the next one. There, okay, we got the circle. Good. Okay. And here is, again, Masonic symbol, just showing, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we aren't ready for that one. You know, why? Why do they need to have Illuminati symbols in there? Where do they come from? Well, they just got there by accident? Oh, that's family-friendly stuff. Really? I didn't know that. They must have just taken it out of there because they had some terrible employee that put it in there. No, I don't think so. Let's think of, we already looked about this, but let's go to the next one. Let's think of Disney rewriting history. Did you know Disney is in the act of rewriting history? Yeah. In Pocahontas. Remember Pocahontas? Yeah. Pocahontas was 30 years old when Captain Smith came to America, right? In Jamestown. And, you know, isn't that something like that? What's the right history? No. Pocahontas was 10 years old. And Pocahontas became a Christian. But in Pocahontas, by Disney, Pocahontas was 30 years old, and she converts Captain Smith to the tree god. And he begins to, what do you know, can you write what's the right word there? Tree god? The tree spirit or whatever. So he has now become a pagan. No, there's no agenda. There's no agenda at all. I mean, this is all innocent. There's nothing to it. It's Christian family friendly, remember? I think that's the last one. Is that the last one? Let's see if there's another one. Nope, good. All right, didn't miss any. So, let's think about the Bible. Learn not the way of the heathen. Can you think of a better way for your children to be indoctrinated in the occult? In the innocency of the occult. In the innocency of magic. In the innocency of familiar spirits. Of the innocency of paganism, whether it's monism, whether it's worshiping of the gods of nature. You know, I remember seeing Bambi when I was a little kid. And after I watched Bambi as a little kid, you know what? I'm sorry to say this, but you know, I always tell people, you know, when they're hunting, they want to get a Bambi. And you know what? You know what? They got me. it got me. From a little kid on. You don't want to shoot a little Bambi. I mean, they're part human. Yeah, they're part human, aren't they? It's all a part of their whole pantheistic view and the worship of nature. And a subtle message. They said after the Bambi film, a whole host of people quit hunting because of Bambi. I mean, they'd rather have them die of starvation, a slow death in a wintertime when there's no food. Rather have them die that way. You know, there's a purpose. There's a purpose to break down moral barriers. There's a purpose to break down the commands of the Bible. You know, it's interesting that the lady who put together the Let It Go song, this week it came out that she's now telling parents, I'm sorry. And it's not, I'm sorry because of the content. That's not, but she's sorry that this song was so catchy and so hypnotic that a year after this film is produced, it's still going gangbusters. And you think about it. They say Disney, like many other corporations, hire child psychologists to learn how the children think and how to get into their thinking and how to get the message across and how to get them addicted to Disney. Money. It's not subtle. Their music is hypnotic. And Christian young people, you know, I dare say that most churches that are not radical like us or me or some of us, I guarantee to tell you that they're passing this CD of Frozen out to all sorts of other Christians. Passing it out to other young people. Hey, you're missing out. Your dad won't let you watch that. Here it is. You deserve to watch it. It's good entertainment. Think about this. When you read the Bible, what it says about the occult, familiar spirits, white magic. You know what I mean? You know, Mickey had the sorcerer's hat. What do sorcerers do? They put a spell on people, don't they? It's called demonic influence. You know, all that stuff is for kids. It's entertainment. Really? Think about it. For 1900 years, witchcraft was an abomination. How would Satan be able to infiltrate Christianity with witchcraft? How is he going to get them to accept that which is abomination? How is he going to get them to do it? Animation. A wonderful world. The magic kingdom. A kingdom without God. Family friendly, kid friendly. You know, when I got to be about in seminary, I realized that books by C.S. Lewis were being promoted by evangelical Christians. And Wheaton College and these other intellectual schools were pressing C.S. Lewis. I mean, C.S. Lewis was a heretic. And Thomas can probably tell you all the areas he was a heretic and ask him afterwards of all his false beliefs. Now you have Christians all over, evangelical Christians, and now then fundamental Christians. I suppose if I checked the curriculum of some schools, they got the kids reading C.S. Lewis. And you listen to VCY, they're quoting C.S. Lewis. And it's, again, the world of the nether world. I guess that's what you'd call it. They're talking about the nether world, about demons and whatever stuff out there. Why would Christians be reading that? It says don't even ask about that stuff. Don't even ask about that stuff. Yet tell them to read it. I bet you there's Christian colleges that assign it to be read. How could Israel get to be weeping for Tammuz? How can Israel have their back to God's Shekinah glory and be facing east and worshiping the sun? How could Christians think, oh, this is okay. This is family friendly. Man, it's fine. Get Disney, you know. And you know, there's a reason I had this message before Christmas. Because I don't want anybody going out there and buying Disney videos and giving them people. And you know, the sad thing is at Christmas time, people think this is the time for entertainment. And so we're going to pull out some kind of video. Well, just think of what that does. The spiritual power of a church. When the people of God, for entertainment, don't have anything better to do, are going to pull out Disney and think that it's innocent. Boy, I tell you what, this might get on the internet, and boy, they're all going to be calling me crazy, but you know what? I'm not crazy at all. This is the truth. This is the truth. You know what? I think there's some principles. One is, I think the first God that we've accepted that is a problem is the God of the need of entertainment. The God of the need for entertainment. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, man, I wonder what they did in the 1800s. I wonder what they did. I mean, there weren't any videos to play on Christmas Eve, you know. I mean, there wasn't any of that stuff. I mean, what did they do? They must have gone berserk. No videos? No entertainment? Whoa, man, what do you do? I think we swallowed the God of entertainment. And you know, I think that entertainment is because there's a great big empty spot in our hearts. God isn't good enough. There's something missing in our life. Something missing. And that missing spot is going to be fulfilled by entertainment. Wow. That's a spiritual problem, isn't it? It's a spiritual problem. And you know the problem with entertainment is? It's called let down the barriers. You know, plop on the couch, sit there, take your brain off, and be entertained. I mean, how else could it, Disney people were almost right. You know, sit down on a couch, plop your brain off, enjoy watching the witches, enjoy watching the naked characters, enjoy, you know, the homosexual Pan. You know, just enjoy it. It's all fun. It's the real world, a world without God. It isn't true. You know, the Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. And Holly knows that. Probably the number one lasting decadent influence in our society has been Hollywood. Hollywood. And they're in a triad of conspiracy with the music industry and the fashion industry. And destroying Christianity. You know, so first of all, let's answer the question. The question was, the discovery was to be made was, is Disney Christian family friendly? Is Disney Christian family friendly? I think he came up with about 10 reasons or more that in no way it's even close to being family friendly. Then we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You know, us old timers are going to be dead. Sorry to say, it's going to be really fast. Those pages just flying off the calendar. And you know what, young people? You have to decide and act upon the facts. Is Disney Christian family friendly? Is it or is it not? Is it or is it not? What does the evidence say? I say that if you will not make a decision, a verdict, come to a conclusion about these facts, and issues like this, your future is an uncharted course to destruction, spiritual destruction. And the wind that is blowing your life will be the winds of the world. When we come to issues like this, we need to have decisiveness. Not, oh, think about it stuff. Calls for decisiveness. It comes to young people. Well, I guess it starts with dads. And you know, sad thing is, many ladies, They just get emotionally, their emotional nature just fits into TV and movies and entertainment. And so we need some dads that stand up, you know, we don't need this stuff in our house. It's wrong. Period. So we need men. And you know what? You say, well, I'm a senior citizen and I don't have any kids, or I don't have any kids at home, and you know why? You know, no. You need to make a decision about this stuff. You need to add to the power of the church. Dads need to stand up and say, you know what? You're out. Every one of this stuff, we've been deceived. We've been hornswoggled. It's a sad thing that we didn't think better than this. And guess what? Every one of this Disney stuff, it gets on the burning pile. Tonight. Tonight. Burning pile. But you know what? We need young people. We need young people. How old are you, Matthew? 8 years old. You know what? 8 years old. You know what? You heard Grandpa preach. Praise the Lord, I don't think you ever saw a Disney thing. But you know what? Tonight, you say, you know what? I heard Grandpa said. And I heard what the facts said. And you know what? Little Matthew, you're saved, right? Okay. You got the Holy Spirit in you, right? Okay, good. Holy Spirit is holy, right? And the Holy Spirit brings you a decision. You know what? As an eight-year-old, you need to say, never, ever will I ever touch one of those things ever. Never! That's what you need to say. That's what we need, young people. Don't play games. You know, if you play games, you're going to get caught. You play games, you're going to get hornswoggled by the world. And you know what? I guarantee you, you can go and you can find some other good preacher that says it's okay. I guarantee you, maybe one of your heroes, and they're going to say it's okay. But you know what? They aren't God. They aren't God. And the only reason that you would go to them and ask them in the first place is because you want someone to excuse what you want to do because you want to go against the evidence. You'd always find somebody that's going to agree with whatever you want to do. That's not how you find truth. You act on principle. You act on what's right and wrong. So we need some young people. Say, you know what? Rest of my life. Rest of my life? Nope. No Disney. Period. Done for. And you know what? We didn't get there. But you know what? You ought to say the same thing about Hollywood. It's over. Why would you want the most corrupt part of our society to fill your brain with their thinking? I don't understand why we do that. Learn not the way of the heathen. That's what the Bible says. So you know what? Now let's talk about the ladies, the emotional side. Oh, you say, man, you know, we got to get together Christmas. We just got to be entertained. Oh, really? Is entertainment more important than the Bible and God and truth? No, I think we need some ladies that say, you know what? I realize that I'm more susceptible to this lie than men. I can easily be caught in this, even much more than men. You know, every good dad needs a good a wife on his side that says, hey, this is what we're going to do. That's right, dear. Go ahead. Go burn them. I'm all in favor of it. Do it now. I'll give you the matches. That's what we need. So, but you know, it's just one little thing, but it really is kind of just an illustration. Yeah, you know, I realize that some people got caught in this unawares in our church. This is a lot bigger than that. This is a lot bigger than that. This is about what's going on all out there, and it's in the air. It's in the air. It's in the air. I can't. When somebody told me, I won't go there, but I know it's true. I can tell you, Bible college right now, that if you went to that school, and it's supposed to be a great school, I can tell you that the majority of kids in that school, probably 95%, think Disney's fine. Do you think on the basis of the evidence that Disney is fine? Let me ask a question. Are people thinking biblically, or are they thinking by their emotions? Or are they reliving their childhood of misunderstanding? I think what Heath told me, he said he read this book, and this man, as an adult, went and watched these Disney movies. And he said, I couldn't believe what I saw. Because as an adult, he knew now what they meant. Now, I don't recommend you doing it. I'm glad this sermon is over because I don't intend to go research any more about Disney. I don't intend to. I guarantee you, if you do it, you won't be blessed. I mean, what I mean by that, your mind won't be blessed. You have all this garbage in there that you wish was never there. So anyway, you know what? It's the spirit of the day, isn't it? Did Hollywood get better? Did TV get better? You know, I was thinking about, you know, what should we do when our family gets together? You know what? Maybe, and I was trying to think about that. Well, maybe we should just get together and sing some Christmas hymns. Gather around the piano. You know, maybe we all ought to talk about the latest book we read. And the blessings we got from the latest book we read. And give everybody a chance to talk about, you know, the latest book, Christian book they read. How it affected their life. You know, maybe we ought to get together and, you know, maybe we ought to, you know, have some testimonies about the Lord. I wonder what Christian families used to do. I think they probably did stuff like that before, don't you think so? Maybe that'd be an encouragement for you over Christmas holidays. Don't get sucked into the entertainment mode. Try to do something that will lead your family closer to the Lord. And definitely, we need to get some more discernment. We need to have more discernment about these things. We need to be thinking our Bible heads a little bit more. Whoa. Instead of just letting it affect us. Let's pray together. Lord, we think of the psalmist when he said, I will put no evil thing before mine eyes. Think of Paul when he said, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Lord, there really is a positive answer. And Lord, we just kind of hit this right on the nose, Lord. We didn't try to make it sweet and easy. We pray that, Lord, that in your mercy, you'll give us grace, Lord, tonight. Be humble. And I realize that in the message there really isn't much leeway. It's either yay or nay. And I guess that it doesn't do well for the pride of man to respond to this message because we just don't like being told what to do. So I hope that, Lord, and I pray that we'll listen to what your Holy Spirit says. And I don't know, Lord, probably wouldn't need more than a half a point for the Holy Spirit to settle the thing. And so, Lord, help us to be decisive. I pray especially for men to be decisive about what's right for mothers. Oh, Think of mothers and their little children. Oh, guarding the souls of their children. Lord, we think of Christian ladies. Lord, need to be godly in an ungodly world. And I'm sure that, Lord, some would say, man, if Disney's wrong, then what are we going to do? Because we know the rest out there is far worse. That's true. We need to act on your word. So, Lord, I pray now for our young people. You know, there's young preacher boys in this auditorium tonight that they'll never be worth their salt if they don't take a stand on issues like this. And they got to adopt the truth because it's the truth. Lord, help them to be, help deliver them from the emotional tie of having seen this stuff. Deliver them from the hold it has upon them. Help them to act upon the truth. Help little children, Lord. Help little children to make the right decision. Now, Lord, we know that we could never have watched a Disney film and we can be just as carnal as day as night. This isn't the end of all. Lord, help us to be in reality. This is just one little thing. And so, Lord, help us not to think we're so great because we got a conviction about this. Help us be honest with ourselves and that we're all just plain sinners. We're weak. We need to walk with God. And so, Lord, give us the victory. Lord, in the invitation, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed.